Back to our lesson from last Wednesday, we began Mark chapter 11, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. If you were not with us last Wednesday, we began the message with an illustration of Hudson Taylor, who was on a ship and he was on his way to the mission field. And the ship was beginning to drift, and it was drifting and drifting and drifting to an area where it was known to have cannibals. You know what a cannibal is? And not a cantaloupe, but a cannibal. Much worse than a cantaloupe. And so there were cannibals on this island, and cannibals eat people. And so the captain of the ship, do not know if he was a Christian man or not. The illustration really didn't say. I don't think he was, but by the wording. But he went down to where he knew Hudson Taylor was, and he knocked on his door and of his room on the boat, and he told him what I just told you, and he said, will you pray to your God that the wind will blow the other direction, because right now we're drifting toward the island filled with cannibals, and that doesn't sound very good. And he said, okay, I will pray that God will bring the wind, but before I do that, you must do something. Do you remember what it was? If you were here, you remember, I think, because we said it 100 times in about 30 minutes. And he said, before I'll pray, you have to promise me to go up and set the sail. And the owner of the ship and the captain of the ship said, you don't understand, there is no wind. Why set the sail? He said, I'm not praying unless you set the sail. He said, if I set the sail, the mariners that are on the boat that are under my command, they're going to think I've lost, you know, I have bumped my head, or I'm seasick, or I'm crazy, because you don't set the sail until the wind comes. And when the wind comes, then you put the sail up and away you go. And he said, no, this time you're going to do it my way, or I'm not praying. And so he said, okay, I'll do it, I'll do it. And the story said that he went up and he set the sail. There was no wind. And within about half an hour, he went down to Mr. Taylor's room and he banged on the door again. And he said, you can stop praying now. We've got plenty of wind. The point of that whole illustration was that there's going to be some things in your life and in my life that it's our duty to do our part and then trust God to do his part. We've got to be willing in whatever it is to do that. And we talked about last week, number one, the main point that we covered was the object of biblical faith. The object of biblical faith. And we looked at the person of God and the promises of God and the power of God. Those were the areas that we looked at last Wednesday. And I'd like to continue this in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 11. But I'd like to pray one more time, please. And so pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, thank you for this meeting thus far. Thank you that the live stream is working once again tonight. Lord, we don't take that lightly. Lord, we are looking forward to probably sometime next month where we can have more people here at the office than just helping with the live stream. And we have room for that, Lord, and help us as we prepare for that and think about that and plan how can we do that. And Lord, we just leave that in your hands. And But tonight, Lord, we come back to your word and we pray that you'd help us to be willing to set the sail. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 23 of our text, verse 23. The Bible says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Number two, I'd like to speak to you tonight on this theme, as far as we get into it, is the opportunities of biblical faith. The opportunities of biblical faith. Last week, we looked at the object of biblical faith in this theme of set the sail. The opportunities of biblical faith. What is the first thing that we look at here? The first thing that we look at is we have an opportunity to believe the impossible. To believe the impossible. Now, from where Jesus and his disciples are standing, they would have been able to see the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives. And so I believe that that is the mount he's talking about in that verse. But anyway, it doesn't necessarily mean specifically that mount only, but they would have had that in view. Isn't it amazing how often Jesus would use illustrations when he preached about things that were there and things that he would teach and lessons that he would teach? And so he knew something about these disciples, and that was this, that when there was a familiar Jewish proverb that would teach a strong and a deep spiritual truth. When someone said that there was a moving of a mountain, that's what it referred to. They were saying that it's something that's impossible. Something that's impossible. Something that would be a long, arduous, difficult, and literally impossible situation to overcome or to see take place. And so when Jesus is saying, if you have faith, then you have the opportunity to do something like moving this mountain, which means an opportunity of biblical faith is something that can only be done through the power of God. It is the impossible. Now, notice who he's saying this to. It's not the multitude. It's the disciples. What does that tell you? Well, I don't know what it tells you, but I know what it tells me. I don't want to be a multitude. Just going around seeing the tricks and the miracles. Not that they were tricks, pardon me. But that's not what I'm in this for. No, we want to be a disciple. We want to be next to the Lord Jesus Christ as close as we possibly can. We want to be there to witness his preaching and his teaching and the life-changing power that he has. And so this was given to the disciples and not the multitude. I would say tonight that I'm speaking to people that have situations in their life that might be impossible. There might be things right now in your home or in your life that would be hopeless. Maybe there is someone that you've been praying for weeks, months, and years to be saved. And almost every once in a while, the devil, you know, whispers in your ear and says something like this, just stop praying, they're never going to get saved. But see, biblical faith gives us an opportunity to believe the impossible, that God can do anything but fail, that God is able to save lost souls. And this is what he said in his word. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Biblical faith. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Where God's word says in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself. That's 2 Timothy. Okay, that's a good one too. 1 Timothy 2, 4 says, who will have all men to be saved? Who will have all men to come unto the knowledge of the truth? We can tonight, as we go to prayer and we pray for so-and-so to be saved, we can go to God humbly but boldly and say, God, so-and-so is part of the all men that you want to be saved. You will have him to be saved. And so, God, I'm praying tonight that the impossible would take place. I hope you're praying regularly for the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, and his family to be saved. I'm pretty confident that him and his wife are not born-again believers. I've never sat down and talked to him. Probably never would have that opportunity. I guess that would be the impossible. Maybe I should believe that. And be praying for someone that has the truth to come into his presence and give him the gospel once again. Maybe he's heard it before. I hope you're praying for our premier, John Horgan, here in British Columbia, and his family to be saved. I would imagine they need to be saved as well. And we pray, not just to pray words, but we pray believing that God can do it, that God can save these people that we're praying for. Why? Because we have a Bible promise. Who will have all men to be saved? That's political leaders. That's wealthy people. That's poor people. That's middle of the road people, whatever that is. I was going to say middle class, I guess, but I don't know. All groups of people, all kinds, shapes and sizes, amen? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Who will have all men to be saved? This is a promise from the Word of God. We can have faith that God will meet whatever need is impossible tonight. And you know the verses, but don't just know the verses. But my God shall supply all your need. It's not plural, it's singular. All your need. not your greed. Philippians 4:19, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But you might be staring smack dab in the middle, right in your face tonight, of a great financial burden and a great financial difficulty that's in your life. And we could talk about why it's there or how it got there, but that's not the point. The point tonight is this, that the opportunity, the biblical faith, is to believe that God can do the impossible in saving someone's soul and in supplying whatever financial need that you have. This is not a get-rich-quick thing. We're not in this name it and claim it. That's not what I'm talking about. But I believe God wants to take care of His children. There are certain things that we have to do. There are certain things that we need to be a part of. We need to tithe to rebuke the devourer. I have a hard time telling someone to pray for God to meet your needs financially who's robbing God. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
If you're robbing God and you're asking God to meet your financial needs, you're the answer to your prayer, sir. You've got to get that tithe thing worked out. You've got to get right with God and get that tithe put in the offering. And you've got to get your offering put in. You've got to rebuke the devourer. That's called setting the sail. That's called giving, tithing and giving, and on we could talk about that, but that's okay. I'm just saying, even God takes care of us even when we're not obedient. You believe that? I believe that. But we're not getting the blessings that we could have if we were obedient. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. But you know what? I don't want just rain. I want showers of blessing. How about you? How about some showers of blessing? By the way, pray that it doesn't rain on June 6th from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. Can you pray for those times? 8 to 3, no rain. 8 to 3, no rain. At 3:01, it can just be showers all day, as far as I'm concerned. Hopefully, we'll have it all put away by then. 8 to 3, all right? We can have faith to believe God can control the weather too. Amen. I don't know what the verse is. It's in there somewhere. We can have faith that we are saved. You believe you're saved tonight? Do you have a Bible promise? I like that. Don't you like to be able to go to God's Word? And that's really what we're talking about. These opportunities of biblical faith always take us to God's Word. I know that I'm saved tonight, not because I deserve it. I know that I'm saved tonight, not because I've earned it. I know that I'm saved tonight, not because I can keep it. But I know that I'm saved tonight because God's Word says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When I was 9 years old, I made that confession. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And 38 years later, He's still my Savior. And I praise Him for that. My faith is not in a prayer. My faith is in the promises of the Word of God. You don't have to say any particular prayer. You just got to come to Him believing that Jesus is His Son, that He died and buried and rose again the third day, and He's the only way, the truth, and the life. And so we have faith. We can have faith as well, that believing the impossible, and that we are secure in Christ. John 6:37, jot that down, and maybe turn over to it. John 6:37. You know, some of these are verses that are good to share with other people. Unfortunately, some people have made a profession of faith, but they've never been discipled, and they've heard bad information. You know what bad information is? That you can lose your salvation. That's bad information. But a lot of people made a profession of faith. They've not been discipled, which is what we want to continue to do here. Disciple, train, teach from the Word of God, Not even necessarily Baptist, but Bible doctrine. Amen? And so that's bad doctrine if you believe you can lose your salvation because it's not in the Bible. Look at John 6 and 37, where God's Word says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me," who's me? Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. What's He say? "I will in no wise cast out." I believe that means I won't cast them out when they come to me to get saved. I won't cast them out when they're saved. I won't cast them out when they die. I won't cast them out ever. For all eternity, I'll never cast them out. Why? Because we're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have faith tonight that there is a place called heaven. Aren't you glad for that tonight? There's a place called heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14. The opportunities allow us to believe the impossible. Number two, the opportunities of biblical faith allow us to not only believe the impossible, but receive the impossible. Go with me quickly to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Jesus said that if you could believe Him, we could have what we ask for. Amen. I believe that. Faith, I like this definition. Faith has the remarkable ability to enable us, think about this, to enable us to hold in our hands what we cannot see. Faith is the remarkable ability that God has given us, by the way, to hold in our hands things that have yet to be seen. That's what it says, doesn't it, in Hebrews 11:1? Are you there in Hebrews 11? Probably memorized this verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance there means the foundation or that which stands under something. Faith is the guarantee, the assurance that we will have the things God has promised to us. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The word evidence there means conviction. What is this saying? Faith allows us not only to hold in our hands, but faith allows us to hold in our hearts things that have yet to appear. This is the blessing of biblical faith, the opportunity of biblical faith. The faith described in this verse of Scripture is the God-given present confidence in a future reality. A present confidence, there it is, I've been digging in my pocket for this since before preaching time, and all I could find was my mask, and I don't really need that right now. But thank you, Lord, for revealing this in my pocket. You never know what's in my pocket. There's lint in there from VBS from all the years. 20 years of lint rolled up somewhere in my pockets from VBS. Those of you that have been around VBS, some of you VBS graduates, you're too cool for that now. But it was cool when you were a kid. Amen. Anyway, present confidence in a future reality. It is the conviction that what we have believed by faith is already ours, even though we can't see it. Now you know why the Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Because you try to tell that to somebody who doesn't know the Lord and they're going to think you bumped your head. You're crazy. You mean you believe you have something in your hands and you can't see it? It's not there. You mean you think you have something coming and you can't see it? All you're basing it on is this right here, but they don't realize that this is the Word of God. This is the living God. This is God breathed, and this is true from cover to cover and even in between. It's all true. It's inspired. It's God's holy Word. We're not putting faith in man. We're putting faith in God, who is all powerful and all present and all knowing and supreme. And we praise Him. This kind of faith is not based on what I can see, but it's based on what God has promised. Let me give you four things quickly about the promise of the future. Number one, Christ's return. Christ's return. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. God's word says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He is coming again. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. But I believe He is coming again. And faith tells me that even though I can't see it, I believe it based on the promises of God's Word. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. where God's word says in verse number 10, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Where do you need to set the sail in your life tonight, church? Get that sail up. There's no wind. Get the sail up. God's going to blow. God's going to move. God will do His part. We live by faith, not by sight. Oh yes, there will be a day when we will live by sight. It'll be in heaven for all eternity. And our faith will become sight. I think of some of the dear people of Anchor Baptist Church. I was looking at an old video today from 2015. And of course, it's the back of people's heads, but I know who they are by the back of their head. How about that? You would too. Two of them are in heaven. Brother Ike and Brother Gord. They always sat right in the camera view over on the Maple Room. Camera was in the back corner on that side as you're looking ahead. I guess it would have been on this side as I'm looking. Or no, left side. On my left side the camera was. And they always sat right over here. Ike and Gord, they're in heaven today. Their faith is now sight. You don't need faith when you get to heaven. As the songwriter said, our eyes shall behold Him. And we'll see Him as He is. Amen. And we trust that's coming. I hope it's coming by the upper taker, right? I hope it's coming by the upper. You know who the upper taker is? Jesus Christ and the rapture. I don't want to see Him by the undertaker. Amen. But if I have to go by the undertaker, that's okay too. I like the upper taker better. How about that? 2 Peter 3:10, God's word says, I gave you time to find it, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior. We believe He'll return the first time in the clouds. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord and to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thus begin 7 years of tribulation. 3.5 years, the Antichrist is deceiving and winning everybody over. And then the second three and a half years, the great tribulation. He takes his mask off, if you will, the great deceiver. And then at the end of that time, we come down on a horse, as we've said. We come with the Lord to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and the devil is chained and thrown in the bottomless pit. And we have hope. We have hope in the Lord. It's not in fairy tales. It's in the Scriptures. Our faith is able to receive the impossible, Christ's return. Number next, the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We serve a risen Savior, and because Jesus Christ lives, there will come a day when we will live for all eternity with Him in heaven. How do you know that? I believe it by faith. It's an opportunity that biblical faith gives me to believe that God is going to give me once and for all eternal life. In fact, as a Christian, we believe, according to God's word, we will only die one time. We'll only die physically. We'll never die spiritually because our spirit has been made alive. That's what it means when it got born again. Never to die, that part of it, never to die. Next, our future glorification. Our future glorification. Praise God for justification. If you're listening tonight and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, our future glorification, 1 John 3:2-3. 1 John 3:2-3. Justification. Don't even think about glorification if you've never been saved. Justification. You need to be saved. You need to be justified. That can only come through admitting that you're a sinner, admitting that you deserve to go to hell, and repenting of sin, and by faith accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you can be justified tonight. You can be saved tonight. It can be just as if you've never been a sinner. That's what that means, justification. Not just as if you've never sinned, but just as if you've never been a sinner. Because whose righteousness do we take on when we get saved? Jesus Christ. And He was never a sinner. And so we're putting on a whole new nature, if you will, when we get saved. That's justification. And then as we're living on this earth, God's Word and God's Spirit are continuously working on us. That's sanctification. That's what I'm getting done to me right now. Sanctification. When I open God's Word, it's helping me to cut off things. It's helping me to add things. And so I can get closer to the Lord and I can bring Him more glory. But then someday, when we go to heaven, we want to experience, and we will, glorification. That's what it says in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear. Not yet. But we know. Aren't those good words? We know. Those are good words. Maybe you circle those. We know. What do we know? That when He shall appear, Jesus, we shall, not we might, we hope so, we might be, it could be, if it's on Tuesday, it will be. No, we shall be like Him. That's a promise. So biblical faith helps us to receive what we cannot see. Biblical faith helps us to give first, and then it shall be given unto us. Biblical faith helps us to go up to the boat tonight and get that sail out and get it up to the top of the mast and just wait for the wind of God and wait for the Spirit of God to move in whatever way. But we're saying, by faith, I'm going to live my life. There's no greater way to live than by faith. I haven't done it as I should. I'd like to have greater faith. Oh, but I can tell you tonight, to God's glory, that in 20 years of pastoring, almost pastoring 20 years now, I can tell you that He took my peanut faith from 20 years ago, if it was even peanut size. And He has taken me and He has put me through the ringer time and time again. You know what? Every time I came out the other side of the ringer, you know what happened? The faith grew. I questioned it. I questioned this and I questioned that. Thank God for His patience in my life. How about you? But today, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that in 20 years, because of challenges, because of health issues, because of financial maybe struggle here and there, because of no church building, still have no church building. That's okay. I'm not saying that to complain, but that was a test of faith. God has something for you. And God has something for me. And we have to say, God, You know what to put me through to increase our faith. And when it's easy, faith's not going to grow. But when it starts getting tight, that's the opportunity to say, I believe God is going to take care of this. I'm not turning back. Though no one join me, I'm not saying that about me. Still, I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. I tell you, I really believe, and I'm going to try to get the landing here on this message for tonight, but I honestly believe, as I've looked back, all the way back to, and I say all the way back, I've been talking about 20 years. I'm not talking about 20 years. I'm talking about 18 months now. 16 months. I believe it was an opportunity once again for our faith to increase. Don't waste it. Don't waste a challenge. Welcome it. Welcome it. Hello, Mr. Challenge, come on in. I knew you'd be here. Welcome in, Miss trial? Have a seat. What do you need to say? I'm ready to hear. Because God has something. You trust God. This church is not mine. It's not yours. It's His. Hey, your wife is not yours, sir. Your wife is His. Loaned to you for the rest of your life. And ma'am, your husband is not yours. Some of your women are saying right now, well, that's good. No, I'm just kidding. That husband of yours is on loan from God. Those kids are on loan from God. Continue to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lead them by faith. All that, okay, future glorification, we're going to be like Him. Amen? And when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. And then lastly, it allows us to believe that we will reign with Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Revelation 22:5, they shall reign forever and ever. Faith in God and His Word make these future promises present realities. Is heaven real to you now? It should be. Is the resurrection real to you now? It should be. Is your future glorification and eternal change, are they real to us now? Yes, they should be. And here's why. Because God has promised us them, and He's even said, I'll give you the faith to believe it. We don't just walk down the street and find faith. God gives it to us. As we invest in His Word, our faith is going to grow and grow and grow. And as we go through those challenges that I was mentioning earlier, and we come out the other side, and we have the opportunity to look back and see what God did and through that, then our faith grows, not so that we can say, we have big faith, but so that we can say, we have a big God. Let me tell you what He did for me. Let me tell you how He showed this. And I know that our faith will become sight in heaven, but you know, I tend to think that we even get a little glimpse of it here. That's the way I want to live. Just get up every day and set the sail. God's going to take care of you for that day. Biblical faith gives us opportunities to look into our hand, see in our heart, things that aren't there, but they're as good as there.